Hey everybody, Pastor Darren here sitting with Pastor Joel for our Sunday sermon recap. And if you'd like a copy of Joel's notes from Sunday, you can text 817-482-6626 to get a copy of the outline. Awesome message. You're going to enjoy it. So Sunday, we jump back into our Living Hope series. Took a little bit of a detour for a while.
Like
3 weeks.
Billy, you, I think before that.
You.
Oh, me. That's right. I forgot about that.
It's been about a month since we've been it. So jumping back in, Living Hope, Book of Luke. Looked at chapter 18 this past week, the parable of the persistent widow.
Right, right.
Short passage.
Yeah.
8 verses, but very life-changing as it relates to prayer.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's one of those verses that is unique to Luke. So, you know, chapter 9 through like 19, I believe, are just specific to Luke. You can't find those in John, Matthew, Mark, you know. So, you know, it makes it special in a way, you know. It makes you pay attention.
So it's good message. And unlike many of the parables taught by Jesus, the reader or the hearer doesn't have to wonder what this parable is going to be about from the beginning. Right out the gate, like you said, no chocolate chip, straight broccoli.
It's not always sweet, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes it's good for you, so.
Yeah, that was great reference.
That's this parable.
And you got to listen to the message to understand what we're talking about. Yeah. Chocolate chips and broccoli. Kind of a weird combination, but listen to the message. Yeah. So verse 1, right out the gate, like we said, he said, purpose of this parable was for us to pray and not give up.
Right.
So why do you think it's always hard to be persistent in our prayer and not give up quickly?
Well, first of all, I just want to say this is my first time on a recap. This is super awkward, so I just got to put it out there. Like, I'm usually behind the camera, you know, like running and recording it. You know, I'm in the room usually when it's being recorded. So anyway, you know, I'm excited about this, but I just had to, you know.
Okay, we're good.
But so the question was, again, read it for me again.
Why do you think we're not always persistent in our prayer? And we give up so quickly when we're praying.
I think this is it's a good question. I think it's kind of twofold. I think it's the nature of man. I think we want stuff real quick, you know.
Microwave. 30 seconds.
We can get anything super fast. Right. You know, if you were to ask me a question, I didn't know the answer, I could Google it.
If you can get that pulled pork in 30 seconds versus 3 hours, right, we'd do it.
Exactly. Yeah, I had somebody from the church give me some pulled pork this week and asked them. I mean, it was phenomenal. Like, I opened up the package and I could smell it. It smelled so good. Tasted even better, you know. And I hit them up and was like, how long it take you to cook that, you know? Because I don't know too much about cooking meat. I'm not a chef or nothing like that, but... he was like 3 hours, you know, so I was like, dang, you know, I made the comment, you know, good things come, you know, when you wait, you know, with time. And so, but I really think that we have a hard time, you know, being persistent in prayer, because I think that our nature is, and I said this Sunday, I think we realize this earth is finite. And so we don't always have kind of an eternal view, even as Christians sometimes. So our life is finite here. It's just a vapor, you know, it's a breath. And so we want things quick. We feel this urgency, you know. But when we come to Jesus, you know, why rush, you know? Right. Like, it's okay. And so I think persistence in prayer is just not normal for us. It's not in our nature. And then, like you said, I think we're just conditioned in this life to rush and to hurry up, because we can get anything and everything super fast.
Yeah.
So it's just super uncomfortable for us to have to wait.
Yeah.
But there was a scripture verse I mentioned on Sunday where it was like, you know, I will wait on the Lord, be strong and courageous, wait on the Lord. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the key things in that message is
courageous.
Sometimes waiting requires courage. Yeah. Like, we think that you got to be headstrong, dive right into it, rush, let's get it. But if you've ever had to wait on God or wait on something, man, it takes real courage.
Especially if you can see it in your vision, you can see it. It's like, I'm almost there, but it's not time yet.
Exactly.
That takes courage. Yeah. It's like, I want to get it right now versus, all right, I see it, but I'm going to wait on that.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. It takes courage. It takes faith.
You know?
Like, one of those points is persistent prayer requires faith. You got to really believe that, you know, God has your best interest in mind and he's got you. for you to sit back.
Which was one of your points we're going to talk about a little bit later, he wants the best for us.
Right, he wants the best for us. Yeah. So I think that's why it's hard for us. I think that's why I think persistent prayer is hard for us. And, you know, one other point that was a little tough for me to say on Sunday because I didn't want it to come across like I was condemning anybody, but I think we get arrogant, man. Hmm. I think, like, it's hard to pray persistently because we think we can pray once, ask God for something.
And he's supposed to do this.
And he's supposed to bend his will to ours. He's supposed to do what, you know. Yeah. And we get arrogant, I think. Yeah. You know, like, we humans, his creation, are asking the creator, you know, to do what we want to do. And I think it's a little arrogant, you know. I wish I could come up with, like, a similar illustration, and I botch it. But, you know, it's like somebody makes a waffle, right? But you put syrup on it, and the waffle asks the person making a waffle, hey, I want, you know, something different. A terrible example, but you know what I'm saying? It's like, it's about that dumb, where it's like the creation is saying, hey, you need to do this, you know? And so I think we're not persistent because we have this feeling or this idea that God should do what we want when we want it, you know, right then. Yeah. And that's just not realistic.
Yeah. You know? And that's tough for us. Like you said, our nature is like, I need it right now. I want it right now.
And I want to add to that because I feel like, you know, I didn't want to come across like I was condemning anybody, you know, but I think we do that a lot. You know, it's like there's a lot of people who haven't come to Christian faith because they feel like God didn't answer my prayer. He didn't hear me.
He's not real.
He's not loving. Right. He's not a good God. You know, and I'm like, you know, if you think of it in the perspective of creation and creator, you know, it does come across a little bit of arrogance sometimes. Yeah. When we feel like he should do what we want him to do. Yeah. You know? So, and it also makes Christianity and God like a lot of other religions, because a lot of other religions are very conditional. Mm-hmm. If I pray this many times and I do all these right things, then God has to act or required to act. You know, it goes all the way back to like Greek mythology. You know, Greek people felt like they could manipulate the gods to do what they want to do. Mm-hmm. And that's just not how it is with Jesus and the God of the Bible. Yeah. It doesn't work like that, you know? Right. And so, anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. So the passage went on to use a judge and a widow as the main characters of the parable. And the widower, as you mentioned, is not someone of status in the community. And because typically the husband is the breadwinner, and when he's passed away, she's barely getting by. And she has adversaries, and she needed some compassion. She wasn't getting that. She wasn't getting that from the judge. And she kept approaching the judge for some sort of justice or some sort of compassion. And the judge, out of annoyance, gave her justice, not because he had compassion for her. But he was, even in the word, it just says, because he was pestering me. Just leave me alone.
Yeah.
So if we read this at face value, we do a lot when we're reading the scriptures, we kind of put ourselves in it. And God, how does that relate?
Right.
In this case, we would look at God as the judge and the widower as us. And so if we keep pestering God, he's going to eventually give us what we want just to get us off his back. But like you said on Sunday, that's not the case in this parable. There was it's not a parable of comparison, but one of contrast, as you mentioned. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah.
That was really good. You actually had a graphic up too.
Yeah. It's kind of like... I think it's natural for us to look at that parable and try to make those connections, you know, like, okay, so in the story, I'm the widow, you know, and God's the judge.
Because the lost sheep, we're the lost sheep. You know, we can easily put ourselves in there and it makes sense, but that's not the case in this.
It's not the case. And if you read ahead in the actual parable or in that story of Jesus, he clarifies it. But yeah, I just wanted to take it to another level to say, hey, this is not, like you said, it's not about comparison, it's about contrast. You know, he's not saying in this passage that if we just nag God to death and we just keep asking questions and we just keep like asking, God's gonna be like, yo, I'm sick of, you know, Darren and Joel pestering me about this. I'm gonna give him what he wants. It's not like that, you know. And I gave that example of like my daughter. I didn't say it was my daughter, but she was asking me for an ice pop this week at like 8:30 in the morning. Can I have an ice pop? Can I have an ice pop? I'm like, nah, it's 8:30 in the morning. We're not eating ice pops, you know. She kept asking me, and then I was like, all right, you can have an ice pop, you know. So we look at this parable and we start trying to make those comparisons. But what Jesus says in this later in this passage is that, you know, well, one, it doesn't make sense to compare God to the unjust judge. We know he's not unjust, right? I mean, he has our best interest in mind. That's what we believe. That's what we hang our faith on, you know. So we know he's not that, but we want to compare him to that, you know. When this, it said, he says that, like, hey, if an unjust judge will do what he did for a widow who is low in status, you know, like you said, doesn't have a lot, you know, depending on everybody. Mm-hmm. If the unjust judge would do this for somebody of her status, how much more would a loving God, a loving judge, a God who cares for us, do for his children, whom he loves?
Yeah.
And that's really what this is about. It's drawing a contrast between the two to let them know, and the disciples and the people that are hearing this parable, and us included, hey, God loves you, and he wants you to be persistent in prayer.
Yeah.
And it was one of those things, too, that, you know, I wanted to mention in the message that persistent, part of the reason he's saying be a persistence in prayer is, and I thought I was trying to be funny. I thought it was kind of corny. Some people laugh, but I was like, the scholar Mick Jagger said, you won't always get what you want.
Well,
you
someone know? Quoted the whole song in the back. So
oh, did they? I didn't even hear that. That's funny. But yeah, you know, you won't always get what you want. So the whole point of the purpose of the parable is that you ought to be persistent in prayer. One, because God loves you, he hears you, and he wants to do what's best for you. But two, the parable wouldn't even make any sense or matter if we pray one time and he would give us what we want.
Yeah.
So that persistence is key. And then I went on to, you know, talk about.
And in that persistence and in that prayer, we're developing a relationship with Christ. It's not just like this one and done Santa Claus type thing, but it's like we, you even mentioned, like in a marriage relationship, you want to consistently have that conversation.
Right.
So it's building a relationship with Christ.
Exactly. Yeah. Just like you said, it's a relationship. Yeah. You know, you wouldn't marry somebody and never talk to them.
Right.
And because if you didn't, you'd never be on the same page.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's the same with God. Like, part of praying is not bending, you know, God's will to your will. It's about bending your will to the will of God.
Yeah.
And we think it's about asking and all this kind of stuff, but really it's about communicating, having that conversation, praying, mm-hmm. listening time. We love to talk when we pray, right?
Yeah.
But sometimes we struggle to listen, and it's a communication. It's a two-way communication between you and God. When that happens, you get to know him better. You get to know his will more.
Yeah.
And so that's a big part of what it means to be persistent in prayer, right? You don't, like we said, you don't talk to your wife one time, and then I talk to him.
Yeah.
You know, I know we're on the same page.
And back in July, when we got married, talked to her, yeah.
And we're like, it's been 12 years. Yeah. You know, like, nah, it doesn't work like that. You know,
yeah. So. Well, you shared with us what persistent prayer looks like, and you talked a little bit about will. And persistent prayer is it in his will? Things we should be asking ourselves. Is it in his will? Is it in his timing? And it's what God is, what we have is what God has best for us. That's his motive for us, is to give us the absolute best.
Right.
So when we're praying for God's will, and we're praying what we're praying, it's a good thing. And it's not hurting anyone. Are we still in God's will?
That's a good question, man. Bringing the heat. Okay. Yeah. That's a good question. So if it's good, but it's not in his will, you know, I think God wants what's best for us. And I feel like as pastors, we have this conversation all the time, you know, where when you're a Christian and things don't always go as planned, and there is suffering still. You don't get saved and you're just like floating, you know, hovering above the ground. Everything's perfect. But when you have a decision to make and there's multiple things on the table and they're all good,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's a great place to be in. I feel like a lot of people get really stressed about that decision. And I always like to remind people, like, look, all these decisions are good.
Yeah.
They're all great decisions. It's not like there's like four jobs. They're all going to pay great, you know, all this kind of stuff. And you're stressed about it. I'm like, look, you're not having the decision to go back to drugs or, you know, like do something crazy. No, you're talking about jobs, you know, so bringing a little bit of reality to that. But I do believe that there is something that God wants for us, and sometimes it's the best thing. You know, I mentioned the scripture, the story about Lazarus. You know, Mary and Martha hit him up, and they're like, hey, your boy Lazarus is sick. Come over and help him. And Jesus, like, hangs out for, like, 2 days and doesn't go, right? would it have been good for him to go and heal Lazarus? For sure. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, that's a good thing. But instead, he hung out and Lazarus ended up dying.
Yeah.
And then he tells the disciples, you know, this is the best thing, that I might go and raise him from the dead so that you would believe, mm-hmm. and everyone would believe, you mm-hmm. know. So, yeah, I think that there are all good things, you know, but I do think that God has something for us, you know, because he knows what's best for us.
It's kind of like that book we're reading as a group, Gaining by Losing.
Yeah.
It talks about revival, praying for revival in the church. Revival in the church, that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. But if the pastor's about revival because I want people to come to my church, would you still be praying for revival right. if it was the church down the street?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, yeah, so it's yeah. that it's God's a bit looking at the bigger picture. It's
bigger not just, picture. Yeah, yeah. He sees everything. You know, we don't always see it. We don't even know what's going to happen right. sometimes. And so, I mentioned it briefly, but it's like we as Christians sometimes have to embrace the ambiguity. We have to know we won't know everything.
Yeah,
you know, we're not omniscient, you know, omnipresent. We're not like God, right? So I always like to say this, he's not like us, but he likes us.
Yeah, that's
right.
Yeah.
You know, like, and so because he's not like us,
thank goodness he's not like
yeah,
us.
Thank, yeah, exactly. Thank God he's not like us, you know. But because we're not like him, we don't know everything. And so we have to kind of embrace the unknown
yeah.
in faith, you know.
Speaking of the unknown, kind of, you also talked about, as part of persistent prayer, the timing, God's timing. So ask for God's timing. Sometimes he takes a while. So what do we do in that waiting, in that time of waiting where, you know, we like that microwave. I pray I should get it in 30 seconds.
Yeah.
But it's 30 years.
Right.
What do we do in that time of waiting?
Yeah, yeah. I, you know, pray.
Yeah. That's what you mentioned. It's pray. Just, yeah.
Pray persistently. You know, when you don't know what to do, pray. You know, to quote, was it MC Hammer? He said, we got to pray just to make it today. You know, like, we got to pray. And so we got to pray persistently, and we got to have faith. You
yeah.
know, that verse 8 talks ties faith to persistent prayer. And so that's what we got to do.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's hard, it's difficult, you know. I talked to a lady on Sunday who's been praying for years. You know, and you get discouraged. But the point of the passage, Jesus says, and Luke says it right up front, pray consistently and don't be discouraged. Yeah. Don't give up, you know.
So. And we learn over time that waiting is a good thing because God has the best for us in mind.
Yeah.
If we truly wait, mm-hmm. and you use the analogy of the girlfriend or, you know, I could have had her.
Right, right. You could have ended up with that person. Yeah, it's like one of those things where, like, sometimes in relationships, we don't like to wait. And it's funny. We're praying, like, about... sorry, I tickled my throat. We're praying about this relationship, and we, like, want to move forward. We want to rush into it, you know? We think it's a good thing, right? But for whatever reason, we take a step back. It's not the right timing. And so, anyway... he said, I don't know why I'm coughing. He sends the best thing, and then we look back and we're like, man, if we would have rushed into this, we
yeah.
would have ended up with this person,
right?
And it would have been crazy, you know. So waiting is hard, but God has, you know, something better for us.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And then you ended the message with a powerful story about a missionary smuggling Bibles into China, really tying all of these points all together. God's will being fulfilled, not in the way we planned. In this case, Bibles arriving, not in the way he had planned for it to. God's timing was perfect. He orchestrated events for those Bibles to get through. And in the end, God's best was fulfilled. And the man was able to still be alive, number one,
right,
to share that testimony.
Right.
Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, this was a guy that I'd met through work. And I was working at Life Outreach International, and he was a donor of the organization I worked for. So we flew out to Atlanta, and I got to talk to him. And he was just saying, like, you know, you got to go listen to the whole
story.
Yeah,
you
got
to listen to
it. But I think when we pray... we have an idea of what God is going to do and what he should do and the way he should answer our prayer. And it's not always that way. And because he knows what's best for us. Yeah. And in the story, the guy has this dream and a prayer of smuggling these Bibles and helping the underground church, but he ends up getting arrested. And little did he know, once he talked to the pastor afterwards, the guy that was a police officer was secretly a member of the church.
That is crazy.
And confiscated the Bibles and delivered them to the church. You know, but he spent all that time struggling. God, why didn't you answer my prayer? Like, I wanted you to answer it. You know, I feel like I failed, all this kind of stuff. And so anyway, he ended up being a really good lesson about how God answers prayer. We don't always see it. We don't always know how he's going to do it, you know. And sometimes we miss it. Yeah. Like, we'll pray, God will answer it, but we miss it.
Mm-hmm. There's like, because we're looking for something else.
Yeah.
And we had our whole idea of how things were going to work out in our mind, but we missed it because he had had something already planned out for
us. Yeah, it's like the old preacher illustration that we've heard a lot, where there's like a flood and a guy's on top of his house and God sends a helicopter and he's like, no, God's going to save me. He sends a boat. No, God's got me. You know, he sends all this help, but he's like, no, God's going to save me. And then he ends up drowning because he stayed on the house and the floods were rising, right. You know?
Yeah.
And he gets to God and he's like, why didn't you save me? He's like, yo, I sent the helicopter. I sent the boat. Yeah. All these people to help me. You know, and this is kind of one of those things where, because God was answering his prayer, like, save me, but it wasn't the way that he thought.
Right.
And he missed it.
Yeah.
And, man, I think that happens to us a lot. Absolutely. I think we pray for stuff, and God's, like, answering those prayers in ways that we don't expect, and we miss it. You know, and unfortunately, sometimes for people like me who are hard-headed, we get down the road, and we look back, and we go, dang, like, God did answer the prayer.
Right.
It's just in a way I did it. Yeah, yeah, I missed it. Or even if I miss it, he's still loving to where it worked out.
Yeah.
And then I go, oh, that's how he answered the prayer.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's what he was doing, you know, but we don't always see it, you know.
Yeah.
And I think this, you know, it's a tough lesson to learn, but it's something that we have to keep in mind when we pray.
Powerful. You got to listen to the message to really hear the whole story. It was a powerful. So in closing, you know, this is our segment, in closing.
Yeah, in closing.
Was there anything that you didn't get a chance to share because of timing-wise, or that you wanted to kind of elaborate a little bit more on? I know you touched on it a little bit, but is there anything else you kind of wanted to share that you can get a chance to?
Yeah, I think I didn't harp on this as much throughout the message, but the whole idea of not giving up.
Mm.
Like, I use that Martin Luther King Jr. quote, and you have to go listen to the message to hear it, but I think we as people, like, we just naturally, when things don't go our way, or we pray, we get discouraged, we give up, you know, and we struggle. You know, I feel like I talked to 3 people after service on Sunday who were like, hey, I'm in this place where I'm super discouraged, and this meant something to me today to hear, like, hey, I don't need to give up. I only mentioned it at the end of the service, but, man, things get hard. Like, we go through circumstances, even as Christians, mm-hmm. where we're discouraged, and it's really tough, and it's hard to wait. It's hard to keep praying, and there's no condemnation there. You know, it's like, we all struggle with that. That's why I joked about, you know, hey, you're probably sitting there thinking, like, I'm about to beat you up about how you're not praying, and I'm like, yo, I got to do the harder thing. I'm
going to preach it,
you know, and it's because I need to hear this, you know. I'm not always like,
you're preaching to yourself.
I'm preaching to myself. I'm not praying day and night like the scripture says, you know, and I go through things where there have been times where I prayed about it once, you know, and I should have kept praying, because if I would have, I would have known his will, you know. And so I think the biggest thing that I wanted to kind of elaborate on is just the whole idea of not giving up. You know, if you're listening to this and you've been going through something really difficult, really hard, and you've prayed about it maybe one time, you know, I want to encourage you, don't give up.
Yeah.
Just keep going, man. Just keep praying. Even if you don't get an answer from God, even, you know, maybe it's less about him answering and more about you getting on the same page as him. Mm-hmm. Like, literally, don't give up, because we're all going through stuff. And you may be in a season on the mountaintop, but you're going to go through a valley.
Yeah.
It's coming. You know, you don't have to live scared. You don't have to be afraid of it, but just know you're going to go through it. And one of the greatest things that my uncle told me, he was a minister to Native Americans, and he actually got to be on TBN. And he said, they asked him, he said, if there was one thing you wanted to say to the Native American community, what would that be? And he just said this statement. He said, Jesus walks the dark hills.
Mm.
And man, that spoke to me because we forget. We get in the valley and we get discouraged and we want to give up and we forget that he walks in those valleys with us.
And that's when we start trying to do things on our own, figure stuff out on our own. Okay, God.
Oh, my God.
I got this one. I got this one. I mean, you're the God of the mountaintop, but I got to deal with this down here. Yeah. I'm going to push you aside and let me work my way through it.
That's a great point. It's like in the valley, a lot of times is when we got to wait.
Yeah.
And we don't like to wait.
No.
So then we start doing stuff our own way. And, you know, we've all seen where that gets us, you know. Start doing it Joel's way. And, you know, I end up miserable, you know. So, you nailed it on that. Like, it's a tough spot to be in. So, like I said, for anybody that's listening and you're in the valley and you're feeling discouraged and you want to give up prayer or you just want to give up in general, just know God's with you. Yeah. He hears you. And even though he may not answer you in the way that you want him to answer, he hears you and he's gonna reward that faith.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And also keep in mind, you have community at the river. If you are in those valley moments and you're feeling low, you do have community. You have pastors, you have leaders, you have community groups who will always reach out to you. And that's what those are for. It's for those moments when we're really low. And we can't talk about that on Sunday, but Monday through Thursday, Monday through Saturday, you know, we can go through those absolutely. Those moments with people. So, all right, Pastor Joe, appreciate this is great.
This is great. This is crazy.
Everyone, I want you to listen to this message in its entirety. Wonderful message. And again, listen to that story, that testimony in full. You're going to be blessed by it. And you'll also understand what the chocolate chips and the broccoli is all about, too, going through that. But you can listen to this message on Facebook, YouTube, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcast. Like and subscribe. Is that what they do on the podcast?
Yeah, that's what they do.
Like and describe. All right.
Describe.
What is it? Subscribe.
Yeah.
You know what I was saying.
Yeah.
All right. You will be blessed by this message is what I'm trying to tell you. God bless you, and we look forward to seeing you next week.